The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's what? Why am I listening to this radio station at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday? Wednesday, as we join in one mind and one spirit to be one in the family of God, united but diverse, challenged but blessed. First up, in a partnership with God, we can be pretty confident that we will prevail, and rightly so, until we think we are winning because of us. Next, there is a divine reason why it becomes impossible. God won't give us more than we can handle? Rubbish. He does exactly that, and on purpose, too. We'll examine it. And finally, there are many times in this journey that we only have one responsibility before the Lord, and here it is. Just stand there. Period.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? We give you opportunities to reach out to the show. You can either call 972-445-0770. I will let you know that Terrific T has oven mitts that she can use to answer your call if it's a hot phone call. Just wanting you to make sure you're okay. If you need to text in 214-210-8483, that will also work. And that will come directly to this phone that's on my desk. And most of the time, I can read most of them. Not always, but most of the time. If I don't have my glasses, forget it. So, I mean, it's not going to happen. So you can call with a pop question. You can call with, you comment, but as long as you keep it cool. The whole idea for our show is to encourage one another. Look, there's plenty of rubbish all around the universe. You want to get into the rubbish throwing? Go ahead. Okay, but we're just not here. We're going to try and encourage each other and strengthen each other the best we can and acknowledge that it's God and God and God, and then we go from there, okay? All right, so also, as you know, you can have a prayer request. We have that. Praise reports, which I'm going to share in the sermon, something that Eric had sent us that he gave permission for us to use, and then we do trivia. Now, remember when I say this to you, some trivia questions are a little sneakier. Sneakier than others. Here's the first trivia question. Take a deep breath. Nothing bad's going to happen. How many times is the word Bible used in the Bible? How many times is the word Bible used in the Bible? There you go. I mean, we are just, I knew we weren't even going to get through the rest of this. Let me at least finish the intro, and then I'll take the call. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. And we're rolling. Hi, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. How you doing? So you're coming in just at the beginning. This is a good sign for you. All right, my friend. How many times is the word Bible used in the word in the book Bible?
I'm gonna say zero. It usually says the Holy Scriptures.
Yeah, it's zero. That is correct. And for those that are listening and texting in, you guys were correct. We had a bunch of people text in. So the word is biblos in the Greek and biblios in the Hebrew. Really, really kind of close. And the word actually means book It could be plural for books, but it's primarily book, and that word is not technically in the Hebrew, Aramaic, or in the Greek. So excellent job. Way to start the show. Good beginning. Thank you, my
Thank
brother.
You.
All right, God bless. All right.
God bless go. You.
All right, so we're off and rolling. Everybody knew. As soon as I gave them the warning, this, I think everybody knew. Oh, he's pulling something. He's pulling something. Yeah, okay, fine, I did. All right, let's make sure we have our DNA nailed down. And so we always want to make sure our DNA is right. Draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily, excellent. Never be ashamed and always be ready to...
serve.
There we go. See, they are just... it's just like... it's like we're in tandem. I'm telling you, it's a great thing. So keep that in mind. That's your DNA. I've told you before, I think last week, in fact, on this day last week, there'll be big news coming. Big news. Didn't I say that? All right, now watch this. Between now and the next 2 weeks, there's going to be big news coming. Just big news. Unbelievable.
Okay. Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
That is hilarious. You get an A-plus for that. That's a great play. For those that don't know, we are having a little bit of problems. Not on our end. You can't blame me. You can't blame T. You can't blame the station, Hipcast, having a little bit of problems on the uploading. They're going to a new system. They've been pretty faithful, and they actually reached out to me personally and called me because I'm one of their oldest clients, and they said, it's us. Which is like, okay, all right, just get it fixed, let us know. It's always good to know that stuff that's going on. All right, we got to jump into the depth of the word because there's so much I want to cover, especially in the next segment when I'm sharing a little bit about what Eric shared with us. Here we go. As you know, we covered this portion yesterday. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, and I'm going to be keying off of something we did yesterday. So in Judges 6:14 through 16, it says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord Gideon replied, how can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Here's what I want to say from that, because we already talked about this yesterday. We have a partnership with God. Okay, one of the coolest things that people don't recognize in bibliology, the study of the Bible, is how much God partnered with mankind to write the Bible. It's so fascinating because you have about 40 authors from princes to paupers, from rich to poor, from up to down, everywhere and across, all of these different people involved in the scripture and in putting it together by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, bringing it all together, the verbal plenary process. Verbal plenary process means that the authors did not lose their personality, but it was communicated the essence of what God wanted and the word choice, but it did not split aside from the personality of the author, which is why when you read it, you go, hey, this guy's really more of a stickler. Hey, this guy really seems kind of like he's softer. That's right. That's exactly what's in there. So there's this grand partnership, and it's not just in the scripture. It's in your salvation in the sense that you're a part of it. God's a part of it. Doesn't happen without God, obviously. And we have this fantastic give and take for those that really want to get into the theology. What you pray for on a regular basis is a hypostatic mentality, and the hypostatic mentality is one where God infiltrates your mind and then works with you so that your mind and your heart can do better. Okay? So in other words, instead of just having your perspective, when God connects to you, you have a better perspective because God has added his perspective in. That's a hypostatic relationship. And we are the most fortunate and blessed people because the truth is that God has never lost once. Not 55-0. It's like 55 billion and 0. He's never lost once. So if you're in a partnership with God, this is a good person to be in partnership with. If you're going to do this, you're going to do this with somebody that that doesn't have that ability to fail. And so what happens is we will struggle through, and this is why Proverbs says, never let me be so rich that I forget you or so poor that I curse you. In other words, we get into this place where things are going really bad and then you start complaining, or things are going so well that you start kind of floating above all of it and you kind of think a wee little bit, yeah, I'm just doing good. I'm doing good. Here's the problem. There's nothing wrong with doing good. There's something wrong with doing good and pointing to yourself and looking in the mirror. That's what's wrong. So when things are bad, we will typically complain, and then we seek God's help, and then he gets us through the process, and then things are going good. And what happens once they're going good and everything's on target? Then we forget. And this is what the Lord tries to work in us to do a better thinking process of that. For those that need an example to help you understand, this is not just believers. It's also people that are, I don't want to say he wasn't a believer, but let's say not the perfect example in the sense of a perfect follower. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of all the world for a time, and God was the one that enabled them to get to that position. But as soon as Nebuchadnezzar walked into his palace and said, "Look what I have built," then God turned him into a cow. So this is why you and I have to be like, hey, let's be careful here. Let's be aware that we have a fantastic partnership with God. The partnership doesn't always go the way that you think it should go, because God is not really a silent partner. He's the majority partner. And in his majority position, his will, his plans are going to be accomplished. Not your plans as you see them or my plans as I see them. I'll just tell you right now, I only got a little bit of time to do this, but so I'm most likely moving from this PhD in Bible exposition into a doctor of ministry in apologetics, okay? This is like, I'd say 95% done, okay? Except then when I get involved, instead of giving them one document for an item, I give them six, because I just want them to have all the documents possible, even the little variation documents. Well, guess what happens when I do that, because I'm so smart? I chug up the system. I clog it because I give them so many documents, they can't go through it fast enough. So whose fault is that? It's my fault. And it's like, well, I know, but I'm helping everybody. See, so this is the problem. Instead of just letting it go and recognizing that the professor of the entire doctorate program there said, no matter what happens, even if you have to appeal, I'll get you through. It's like, but I've got to control it. Ronnie was right the other day when he said, "Why aren't you calling it a miracle?" That's because I'm chicken. That's why. You wanted the answer, Ronnie. You got it. All right. So now we're going to get into how this really breaks down, because I'm going to challenge the notion God won't give you more than you can handle. I'm going to tell you right now that's not true, but it's not true for a reason. So don't freak out on me. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. I'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let me give T a quick update. They just sent me a text saying that the episode is up from yesterday, so I'll have you check that out, and don't worry about it. I'll do the description and stuff like that later. That'd be very fast if they did that. That's pretty good. Let's see. A couple things I want to roll in your direction. We've got my time is kind of tight, and so I want to be kind of like really careful on it. And so when we're going to do our trivia towards the end, so you're just going to have to wait and hang out for that. So I know you love me, but you can bear with me. You can hang out with me. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, a couple of things I want to mention. Do not forget the Bucket Ministry that we talked about yesterday, which is this is a great ministry. It's actually, their office is technically Rockwall Faith, right where I am. So to meet with them, I mean, it was like 5 minutes from my house. So that was kind of cool. And then the demonstration that Christopher did was just, it was amazing. He takes this murky water and puts it in this tub, and then he shows you this little filter, and he turns on, and it comes out clean drinking water. You're like, wait, how are you doing that? Where's the sleight of hand? So anyway, the Bucket Ministry, we do have a link on our website for them. So, you know, I just want you to, it's not an issue of competition the way that people think of it in the world, okay? I'm just going to tell you, if we're doing it right, we should just be supporting everybody. I mean, how would you think of it any different, okay? And then, so I encourage you to check that out and get a chance to review that. And I want to thank them for being so gracious to us. And then there was something else. So it is already up. So that's, boy, that's pretty good. Yeah, you got to like that customer service, right?
Right. They are fast.
Yeah, they are fast. He was like, boom, done. All right. I want to get into this because there's this idea, and I want to make sure you understand the difference. So I'm gonna make it clear so nobody freaks out on me. When people say, well, God will give you never more than you can handle, what the scripture says is God will never let you be tempted beyond what you are able. In other words, he won't allow a temptation to come into your life that he will not have an open door or a way of escape for you in that situation. A great example is after I was set free from the Lord by drugs, I was meeting with somebody, one of my old friends, okay. And it was a female. Don't get the wrong idea or anything. We were just smoking buddies, per se. And she started to light up and smoke right in front of me, smoking pot right in front of me. And I remembered that somebody had, and this has been a Christian for a little bit, not long enough, but a little bit, said there's, you know, that the Lord will make a way of escape. And the only thing my eyes could focus on was the front door. So I got up and said, I got to go. And I literally walked out the front door and closed it behind me. And I knew that that was my way of escape. I mean, I knew that I was kind of new and everything and not really understanding everything, but I needed to make this full commitment to the Lord. And it was a single door of escape. And so that temptation was not allowed to overtake me because I had a door to escape it. That is vastly different than saying God will never put something in your life that you cannot handle. He'll never give you more than you can handle. That is not a correct saying. It's not a passage, and it's not a correct saying. And the reason that we say things like that is simply this. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. In the early morning, Gideon and all his men camped in the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. Now you'd think that's okay. They're facing 135,000 people. They had 30,000. Now it's down to 10,000. I think you guys already know the story. It goes from 10,000 down to 300. And now you have 300 people against 135,000 people. You can say a lot of things to me. You can just be practical, be honest. That's impossible. Okay, there's 300 people are not going to defeat 135,000 people. I mean, you just think about that. It's like a high school band against an entire large city. It's like, that ain't happening. And the reason that I bring that up is because the one who orchestrated that situation to get worse was God. And you're thinking, well, no, he can't do that. That's exactly what the Lord does. The reason that there was too many, he says it right to Gideon. Now, you guys are going to take credit for this. You're going to think you did this. Now, you guys know 1 Corinthians 1:29. What's it say? You know, 26 through 20. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many were wise. Not many were influential. Not many were noble. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God's like, no. No. And I remember when I first got saved, my brother and I, we first got saved, and we're like, yeah, if God just saved Paul McCartney, then all the people who were into rock and roll would get saved. You know, it's like, that's how we thought. It's like, doesn't work that way. In fact, God uses what is not to bring about what is. If you knew how much of a what a nut I was, or a nut, you would understand how much ministry you're getting is so miraculous. You'd just be like, wow, okay, that's impressive. And sometimes this situation can get so far out of hand from our perspective that you're like, there's just no possible way that anybody could ever figure out how this can happen. It's exactly what the Lord does. Let me read Eric's letter. Oh, let me just ask you this before I read this letter. Anybody have any political tensions in your homes? Okay, good. Here's Eric's letter. I have a praise report that you can use on the radio if you'd like. As you know, I have 5 children and members of the family that are polar opposites of each other. Who would have thunk that? One day when I was getting off work, I turned on my cell phone and the messages blew up in my text messages. Beep, beep, beep. One after another was downloaded. As I read through them, my heart sank, for that there was great friction between my family core on politics. Only direction I knew to turn was to give it to the Lord. Eric wasn't trying, I'm going to solve this for God. I'm going to be dad and just, I'm going to make everybody. Okay. Sometimes you just go, okay, God, this is a all you, none of me scenario. I prayed on it and through faith knew that it would happen. Very important. That's an excellent line, Eric, by the way. One by one, I had a divine appointment with each child. One child, I spent the afternoon hunting doves, while the other, I spent an hour and a half talking on the phone. I was able to love on them and tell them that the family members are more important than who our national leader is, and the two main family members that were bombarding each other are now working on their peace with each other. The rare meetings were not lost in talking about the kingdom of God to them. And more importantly, I was able to further the kingdom of God to family members who had previously turned away from him. At first, they were not receptive, but some signs are there that they're thinking about the Holy Father and what he's done for us all. It's rare to get these moments to talk to your children when they are living out of the house. Boy, is that true. But it happened all within a week. I'm so overjoyed that I got to not only be an instrument for God, but I felt like a real father again. I will follow up with them on their journey and quest for the Lord. Please pray that they will accept Jesus's calling when it happens, and for all my family members. That situation, from a political family point of view, and I'm telling you, you guys have no idea how that is so miraculous. In our house, I mentioned this before, growing up, every meal was Thanksgiving. Food flying everywhere, people swearing, things going across the table. Never a dull moment in our house, okay? Which is why I think my dad had us have a really big, big dining room table. Because really big. Remember, my family's pretty wealthy. And I mean big as in enormous. And so the idea is to understand that sometimes, exactly as Eric wrote, sometimes he can't solve this. Do you know how many times I'm like, I can't figure, I don't even know what to, I'm not even sure what to do. That's what Jehoshaphat said. I don't know what to do. My eyes are on you. It's like, I'm done. Figure it out, God. You're the one. That's how the situation needs to be, so that we're so dependent on the Lord. And remember what the Apostle Paul said. I have the answer of death if I were to trust in myself. It's like, no, you got to let it go and entrust it to God. And you think, but that is so difficult to do. Sure, absolutely, positively is difficult to do. How's that for an answer? It is. Let's just be honest. There are times where you look to the Lord and you go, you know, you could just snap your fingers and get this done. But that's not how he operates. He does everything for a purpose, for a timing, for a plan, for an understanding. And we have to trust him for that. So when it's beyond you, you should just be saying, this just means you're going to show up all the more and handle this. Now, isn't that the attitude? Lazarus is dead. Don't go anywhere, Jesus. Stay here for a couple days. Okay, Father. And then he goes down there. He knows he's going to raise him from the dead after that. But it's like, you just stay there. I got a plan here. I got a timing thing here. It's like, wow. Not the way we would have done it. It's just the way God does it. See how different that is? All right. So I'll fire off the trivia question for those that are going to respond to it. If you're going to call in, delay your call a little bit so that you don't have to stay on the phone on hold forever and a day. That's fair to say, right? Okay. All right. On what two parts of the body will the mark of the beast be placed? You thought I was going to go easy on you. You're wrong. Don't forget, you can text in 214-210-8483. You can also call in 972-445-0770. Give it a minute or so. That won't kill you. That way you don't have to stay on hold the whole time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian,
So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love days like today. So our question that is in there for trivia, let me make sure I say it correctly. What two parts of the body will the mark of the beast be placed? Now you can call in because now we're setting it all up. See, I had to kind of delay it back and forth. And then you can also text in 214-210-8483. I'll give you the answer in a little bit. And I will tell you that, and I'm going to say this to you as in the nicest possible way, that people in Scripture can get so over-technical that they miss what's being communicated, which is exactly what happened with the Pharisees when they were interpreting the law. They could only try and do things by the letter, and they couldn't understand the spirit or the intent or the purpose of the law. And you never want to be that way. Those were not Jesus' best buds. Got that? All right. So we got somebody calling in on the answer. Here we go. This is David. Ronnie. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. I figured it'd be hard for you to delay.
Well, you know I'm driving.
I figured you'd get in there one way or another. All right, my friend. What two parts of the body are we talking about?
The head and the hand.
The head and the hand. And then there's many people that say the forehead and the hand, the forehead and the wrist, the palm and the forehead. That is correct, sir. You are a winner.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you one cool thing I want you to think about. So this can be a very literal, and many people believe it's going to be a literal mark, but it is also absolutely applicable to say that what you set your hand to and what you set your mind to is also connected to that, too. So think of that. That's a very important element. So just something
Amen.
To chew
yeah.
on. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, my brother. Good job.
Thank you. All right, God bless you.
All right. Good job by Ronnie. So that's important for you guys to understand. So people are like, well, it's got to be the wrist or it's got to be the hand. It's like, okay, calm down. Okay? Calm down, Sparky. Okay? The idea is, you remember where they would put the special cases for the scripture would be on the forehead and on the hand. And the reason that they would have people do that is so that whatever you set your hands to, you would think about the word of God, and whatever you set your mind to, you'd think about the word of God. That's no accident that coordinates over to Revelation 13. Come on. You guys know that. And all I'm saying, this is one of my strongest elements for eschatology, is it's not that the mark is not literal. It's not that. But it is more than just literal. It's applicable when somebody sets their mind and their hands to advancing the kingdom of the world against the kingdom of God. They're marked. You can count on it. And it's just one of those things you go, well, that makes sense. Okay. All right. So let's go past that and move into our next thing. Oh, we got so much to cover, don't we? Let's see. I got to do the website.
40. Come on, Dave. Get it all in there. Okay. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and I encourage you to check out the website. We've had some people giving of late, and that always makes me, you know, it makes me breathe a little easier. I mean, I don't know who's not going to say that. And I will tell you that I am the kind of guy there. If we got enough in there and we were really doing well and you guys had extra, I'd say give it somewhere else. I just think that's the way you do it. So, and we're doing pretty good. So I'm happier. It's easier when it's a little less stressful. Yeah, sure. I'm the only Christian that thinks that. Sure I am. Anyhow, but thank you for all your donations and all your giving, all your support, all your love, and all your prayers. And that was the thing about the Bucket Ministry I want you to remember. Is you don't have to necessarily give to them. You can give to them. Their giving amounts are small. That makes a really big impact on a lot of people. But you can pray for them. You can mention them. And it's worthwhile. Worthwhile ministry, worthwhile people advancing the kingdom of God. Just that simple. All right, we got to cover history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, some really good history elements today, okay? First of all, it's Mayflower Day. Now, I don't really know what that is, but, you know.
There's a street off Mayflower called Mayflower.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know that if April showers bring May flowers, then what do May flowers bring?
June bugs.
No, pilgrims. Mayflower. Ah! That's a good one, huh? Come on, that's an old classic.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. It's also National Guacamole Day. So I will tell you, now, I didn't like guacamole for 32 years, and somebody took a piece of guacamole and gave it to me with this salted, kind of a spicy salted pork chop, and put it on there and said, just eat this. And I ate it, and now I'm just like, absolutely.
Yummy.
You know, yummy. I mean, I love it. It's also Step Family Day, and I do take a little bit of exception when people get mad saying, well, you shouldn't call it Step Family. Look it. A person who steps into a family. It's nothing wrong with saying that. I think the connotation is not as great as it could be culturally. But I will say something. If somebody steps in to be a step parent, stepping in parent is what I typically call it, that is, of all things, most courageous, because you're willing to take on a parental role for somebody you did not create. It's like, wow. You just give them props. You got to think about things like that. Okay. 1968, on this day, United States presidential candidate Richard Nixon delivered the line on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In show. Do you know what that line is, by any chance? It's an old classic. It's really, really old. He said, back in the day, they had this show, and they would say, sock it to me. Sock it to me. So for the presidential candidate went on the show and went, sock it to me. Classic. Also on this day, Bob Newhart show started in 1972. For those that remember Bob Newhart making psychologists normal. That was what they did. 1984, Miami Vice started. But 1908, the car company General Motors was founded. Okay. Keeping everybody up to date on the old history. Let's go back to what we've been discussing, because I want you to catch the application part. So I think you guys can get that in a large part that these things that we do with the Lord, in the Lord, there's a great partnership that we have with the Lord. And in that partnership, sometimes our end of it's not the way that we'd think. So typically a partnership, each pulls 50%, 49%, 48%, whatever, 55, 45, whatever. That's not how it is with the kingdom of God. God's pulling the weight. You're along for the journey. It's a kind of a different element altogether. And I want to read you this passage and then just talk about this one element, because people don't know often what to do when they don't know what to do. And that's what I want to talk about. So 2 Corinthians 1:8-10, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Far beyond our ability to endure. What's that mean? It's beyond them.
so much so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Okay, so God, so it's amazing how the Lord does stuff like this. But Paul talks about hope in the past, present, and future tense, which is amazing. To understand that God has delivered, is delivering, and will yet deliver us. He said that we had this heaviness upon us that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And this is why he writes raises the dead, because there is nothing more beyond mankind than raising the dead. It's like, that's it. That's pretty much, you know, telling me about planets. Somebody dies, they come back to life. You're going, what? That's the thing you can't get. And it's like, look, if God can cover that, he's got us covered. We need to trust him. We need to have a confidence in him. And most of us can understand the Romans 8:28, all things working together, and the attitude of understanding Ephesians 1:11, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. But what was the one thing that Gideon had the people do in their obedience, in their process? They were going to respond the best they could. But here's what I want you to catch. They were expressing appreciation for the Lord, and that's going to be in verse 15 of Judges chapter 7. But what I want you to catch is this one thing, and I'm going to talk about it the entire next segment, and that's this. This is the practical thing. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, you just stand there. Instead of running about and scurrying about and try and think, well, if I do something, something good will happen, or if I do something, something bad will happen, sometimes that's the wrong answer. Sometimes you don't do anything but let that trust settle. Sometimes, instead of trying to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks, sometimes you just stand there. And I know that we don't like that because it doesn't mean we're doing anything. It's like, just stand here. I'm supposed to do nothing? Yes. It's so hard, isn't it? And for anybody that's into control, don't lie. For anybody that's into control, you're like going, oh, it's the worst. Because you do nothing and you have to fully rest in the Lord. Remember, and it's even posted on the website. If you click on that one little image, the word rest means to be dumb. And sometimes just going, I'm too stupid to do this. Just take care of this. I'm way beyond me. That's exactly how God wants you to be, because that's genuine faith in action, doing nothing. All right, take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Doing a great job, T. I hope you're doing good. You doing good? Things going good?
I am doing good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Let's see. Our trivia question. Which would be the right, correct English pronunciation. Which verse tells us, which verse tells us that if you lack wisdom, you should ask God for it? There is a specific verse I'm looking for. A specific verse. Okay. Let's see. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, I want to get into this because my timing is a little tight, so I don't want to, you know, take too much time on some of the other stuff. Here we go. So I had just mentioned to you as we were closing out that last section how worshiping was a big part of it and then just standing there. So I wanted to give you the two backup verses from the Gideon scenario so you can know. In Judges 7:15, it says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. Okay, so this is the pre-runner, but here's the one that I love the most, Judges 7:21. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. While each man held his position around the camp. That's why you heard me say sometimes the answer for what you're supposed to do is just stand there. Hold your position. Hold your position of faith. Hold the pattern. My son used to have a bulldog. Okay? One thing about a bulldog that is amazing, they are so stubborn. They're not just kind of stubborn. They're super stubborn. Be a bulldog in your faith. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
All right, my friend. Here we go. I'm looking for the passage, and this is a big passage because people need to recognize this. The passage that talks about, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What passage are we talking about?
James 1:5.
Correct, sir. You are right. That is absolutely correct. And what's wonderful about that verse is the rest of the verse says, and God will respond without finding fault. In other words, God's not going to look at you and go, well, you're a mess. I'm not answering you. Instead, God responds because he's gracious.
Ain't we lucky?
Yeah,
fantastic. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Boy, we just got our audience is so cool. All right, we got cool people. All right, so look at this thing. So this thing that I'm telling you about, this bulldog thing, it's like you guys are like going, no, Dave. No, I'm telling you. So my son had a bulldog. His name was Dookie. Don't get mad at me. And that we would have to watch the dog every once in a while. That dog was so stubborn. Levi, my dog, was like an angel compared to that dog. You couldn't get that dog to move. That's how you need to be from time to time. Just stand there. Hold your pattern. Be strong. Stand. In fact, in Ephesians 6, I think it's three times. I'm just not looking at it right now. But it says stand. It's like just stand there. Don't move. And the reason is because that's that moment where you exercise genuine faith and that you say to the Lord, it's in your hands. Now, if the Lord tells you take a step, you take a step, right? If the Lord says, if you're at the water and he says step, you step, and then you step and the waters, you know, crack open or whatever the case may be. But if the Lord doesn't tell you, so you don't know what to do, you look to the Lord. You just focus in on the Lord. And if you focus in on the Lord and that's your mind, that's your vision, you get through, you prevail. I am the kind of bad Christian that thinks I need to do something to make something happen. And it's usually, I hate to say it this way, but it's usually when I come to an end of myself that there seems to be more of God. It's usually when I say, okay, that's enough of me. If something's going to happen, you're going to have to do it. And then usually it seems like that opens the door for the Lord to do all that he's going to do. Now, if all things work together for good, and if we're supposed to stand firm in our faith, and both those things are absolutely true, and we're supposed to hold our pattern and be like bulldogs, then let's do that. Sometimes you just got to do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just got to be immovable. Is that a good way? Yeah, that's a good way to say it. All right. Everything okay there? They want a pizza? Okay. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God is involved. Now, I've got this little rest of the portion here, and you guys know this portion. I'm not saying anything new, but that's not my job. My job is not to crack open new revelation for you. My job is to encourage you in the revelation you have to maintain and stand firm. Well, here's the greatest portion of Scripture for us to do that in. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those to whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Do you hear that? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No! That's what it says. No! You got to just like, no! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all of these things that we do in the Lord, we're more than covered. God is your partner. And so I know that some of you are going through tough times. It's not. It's in every realm I can think of. It's financial. It's situational. It's relational. It's all of these different realms. And it's no different than what I go through. And I must say, I don't think it's any different than what any other minister goes through. I just think that most of those ministers have a little more class than I do. They don't get as down and dirty kind of like in some of their conversation, which is totally – I think it's appropriate, by the way. Don't get the wrong idea. I think there's a place for that and a place for people like me. Just like – and the Lord uses all of it. And you just – sometimes you just got to go, you know what, God? I can't do anything about this. It's frustrating me, and I don't like that it keeps robbing me of joy and of faith and of all this stuff. I'm going to turn it over into your hands. You have to handle this. I mean, one of the greatest things is that God is often just sitting there with his hands out going, it's about time. Now, I'm not going to give a name. I'm not going to say anything about this, but I happen to know a personal story of somebody who was very prominent in ministry and was on an airplane, and they were kind of frustrated about where things were going, and
they prayed this really deep and intense prayer and just told the Lord, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do this. I feel like I'm the one doing this. I'm doing this, and it's, you know, it's all like in my strength and so on and so forth. And the Lord spoke to him. And you know what the Lord said to him? Finally. Just like, I think that's God. See, to me, that's God. That's exactly what God, the Lord would say. Finally, you know, it's like, it's about time, you know, because we try to run it so often and we run it so poorly. So my encouragement, my admonition to myself, to you, to T, to Jennifer, to Don, to Sarah, to everybody involved in this station, everybody involved who listens on the airways, and to everybody who listens to all the ministries here, is there are just some times where you just got to stand there and go, okay, God, be God. Because as you look and see what's coming around the corner, you are aware you can't actually see around a corner. See, if you actually look at a corner and it goes around, you can't see what's there. But see, God's up on top. So he already sees it. And he's already told you, I got you covered. And that's where that faith and that trust comes in. Now, I know some of you going through a tougher time, and some of you actually are doing really well. And so for those that are doing well, you ought to be praying for your brothers and sisters, saying, Lord, give endurance, give strength, give power to stand there. Remember what the scripture says in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes that's the place. And I'll just close it out with this. One thing Jesus did say that is significant, probably could have gone another hour on this, was, hey, it's not for all your words. It's not for all the babbling you do that you're going to be heard. This is the thing. You come up to the Lord, well, I'm going to give you 1,500 paragraphs, God, because I expect you to. Sometimes you just get before the Lord and you just say, help. And you don't say anything else. You just trust that he's going to help you. I just believe with you and for you, each and every one of you, for myself included, because God, he's good, and we can count on that, okay? All right. Love this show. This is a fun show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.